up, y'all, and welcome back to Found Bites, a game review series. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. If you don't know about us, we're all about testing out and finding small, high-quality video games. This is a podcast that aims to respect your time and money as a gamer and a consumer by sifting through storefronts and sales to find those gems that may be worth your precious resources. If you're interested in reaching out or helping out, check out the links in the description of each episode to access our email, Twitter, website, and YouTube channel. But enough about the show, let's get into our next game. Wavetale is the game for this week's episode. Wavetale is an open-world 3D platformer, and it definitely compares to games that we've talked about before, like The Pathless, Hat in Time, as well as games like Sable, which we talked about in Tales and Sales, and games like Ratchet and Clank, and a little bit of maybe Jack and Daxter. The game was originally released in November of 2021 as a Stadia exclusive. And so, of course, that was short-lived. And then in December of 2022, it finally came out to PC, PS4 and 5, Xbox One, Series X and S. The game was developed by Thunderful Games, which is a studio and a publishing branch that we've talked about before. They're this kind of Swedish dev group that's a combination of studios like Image and Form and Zoink Games, and we've talked about them before. Image and Form did SteamWorld Heist, which was one of our episodes, and we talked about Lost and Random, which was done by Zoink Games. So all those are kind of melded together into Thunderful Games, and they're also a publisher, kind of this Swedish company that is a conglomerate of all of these small studios, as well as does a lot of publishing. The game had a physical release through Super Rare Games, and that was released in May of 2023, only on Switch, and there was a standard edition and a steelbook edition. There's only 2,000 made of each as of now. I think the standard edition sold out, but the steelbook is still available, so maybe you want to check that out. There's some goodies with both, like cards, and I think maybe an instruction booklet. The game released with an MSRP of $29.99 digitally, and those Super Rare Games editions, the standard was $38. And the steelbook is 54. Again, the steelbook is, I believe, still available. Runtime of the game, just going straight through, not doing any side quests or open exploration, which you certainly can do. You could probably get through this in about 4 to 5 hours, but if you're really trying to explore, maybe do some of the challenge runs, it might put you a bit over 7. The game does have a platinum trophy, and as of now, I'm looking at it, and it's 55%. So it seems like a fairly easy platinum. I don't know if I will get it. And me, I've been playing this on PS5, and I got it on sale for $8.99. And I've put in about 6 hours. I'm almost at the end. The story's kind of coming to a climax, but I've done some of the challenge runs and some kind of open exploration. And in terms of recommendation, I had not heard of this. No one, I believe, was talking about it. I didn't overhear it from anyone. I just saw it on a sale, and I looked at some of the gameplay, and it looked like some super kinetic movement, as well as kind of reminded me of Wind Waker, because you're kind of out on the open ocean, moving from like island to island, but it's definitely more manual and more kinetic than that. All right, let's talk gameplay for Wavetale. So this is a 3D platformer, very similar to games like The Pathless and A Hat in Time. So let's run through some of the basics. So you can move your character, you can hold a button to run, and that's going to be different whether you're on land or in the ocean. And you can move the camera, you can invert both the axes on the camera. You can jump, and you're going to be doing a lot of jumping, and you can double jump. And then what happens is when you jump, if you hold the jump button after you've jumped, your character will like swing their melee weapon around above herself and it'll act like a helicopter and you can actually kind of glide and levitate at a slow falling trajectory. And I think the longer you hold it, the faster you're going to fall. So it's not like you can kind of do it forever or even like pitch the angle perfectly because it has a time limit for where it really starts to just drop you. You will have a melee weapon that you can swing. The hitbox and all that on this is kind of interesting, a little inconsistent. It is fairly liberal, I will say. But what you'll find, I think for the most part, is that anything that you can melee, when you get close enough, it'll kind of look like it's highlighted around in white, sort of indicating that if you swing, you'll hit it, but it's not always consistent. And then there are some other moves that, honestly, I'm nearing the end of the game that I just discovered. And I don't even know how I discovered, but you can do a ground pound, which is you jump in the air and I think you hit triangle on PS5. If you're not in the air and you hit that button, it's like a power swing, so it's stronger than your normal melee swing. I never knew this existed, and it was never in a tutorial, and I never needed to use it. But now that I know it, I'm trying to use it. There's also a dash button that I never knew was there, and I don't even remember ever being introduced to it. But I found out that it was there because there was this kind of really long jump that I needed to make where I had to float from a higher platform and I kept being like way short, and I looked it up and it said that you can use the dash, which you can do on the ground and midair to really kind of push your trajectory of how far that you can glide. So all those things are on the table. I don't know if you'll need any of them for the most part, but those are the basics. And then let's get into the platforming. So in general, I will say that it is very kinetic. You'll be moving a lot. It feels very good. And you might run into issues with camera angles, having to move and then quickly move the camera. I think this is very similar to A Hat in Time because the platforming or what you're capable of in A Hat in Time is so extensive. And this is similar here that you're going to be doing a lot of vertical platforming. And you're going to find that like you're going to platform faster than you can move the camera. And so you might get yourself in situations where you're doing a couple quick jumps, but then you don't know where to jump to next because you have to go and move the camera. So turning that, pivoting the camera, it can be a little frustrating at times. But honestly, I feel like it's a good problem because it's kind of the result of the platforming capabilities being so high and so versatile. But that might annoy some people, especially if you're like my wife, although she's kind of getting better in regards to getting annoyed to have to constantly move the camera. You will have the ability to do some kind of like a grab with your melee weapon. It's almost like a hook shot. And anytime that you get to something that you can interact with it with this, it'll kind of highlight it, or there'll be a box around it, or like kind of lines coming from it, like a cartoon that like something's shining. What you can do with this is when you come into range, you'll see the box or the outline, and you'll be like pulling items toward you, which are some of the collectible things. And then you can hookshot yourself onto different platforms. And so you'll see that prompt anytime you get close, and you might have to, again, pivot the angle of the camera. So that can sometimes contribute to a little frustration. Again, fast moving platforms, or sometimes mid air, you might need to hookshot to something. And if your camera's not pointing to it and you don't see the prompt, then you might miss it. Some of the types of things that you're going to hookshot towards is like platform edges. If they have like a bar on the end of it, there'll be these catapults sometimes in the middle of the ocean that are really cool, where your character just hookshots to them and then she does like a little mini cutscene or a little animated thing where like she just shoots herself through it and you shoot really far. And then sometimes you'll go into slides, and basically anytime you fall into one of these slides, it's like shooting you at a much faster rate, and then you kind of shoot out almost like you're coming off a ramp. And then there might be these kind of like peg elevators that you can attach to and kind of just latch onto, and then they might move up and then put you in a position to latch onto something else with that sort of hookshot thing. A lot of what you're going to do in this game is ocean surfing. And just to give you a slight idea of like the premise or the landscape, it's almost like a water world. Like you've got a lot of islands and a lot of ocean in between them. And when you start the game, you're kind of on one island and you're walking around doing tasks. And you just look at this vast ocean and you're like, oh, wow, there's, you know, other islands, but I don't know what to do. And then quickly you find out that you're going to be able to surf on the ocean. And so what's interesting about this game is that vast amount of space between the islands or between the areas that have platforms. When you are on the ocean surface, like I said, you have a button to hold to run quickly. And when you're on land, you're kind of just running at a brisk pace. But when you're on the ocean, you're kind of like walking on the water. So you're not going to be submerged or you're not really going to dive into the water or anything like that. But when you hold the run button, you actually surf very quickly and it's super kinetic. And then other things while you're on the ocean surface, there is the jump button that you'd normally press in platforming. But when you're on the ocean surface, you can hold it to kind of charge up. And then your character will like shoot up from the surface of the ocean and you'll be able to do combos or you'll be able to get out of the ocean onto like a high platform. And anytime you're going from a platform or an island to the ocean, if you're high enough above, what you can do is you can hold the run button as you're falling in the air and your character will dive into the ocean and then kind of start moving very quickly. So you're going to constantly be jumping off of platforms, maybe gliding onto over the ocean and then diving in and then just holding run. So pretty much for the most of the game, you're going to be holding that run button regardless. And so this can bring about different combos. So like I said, a lot of the platforming in the game is you going from an island to the open water, back to another island, back to the open water. Sometimes you'll be going up islands, like in some series of platforms. Maybe you'll be retrieving something or doing quests or whatever, but you're always going to kind of eventually go back to the open water. And like I said, the movement is incredibly fluid and satisfying. The traversal is very vast. Like there is a lot of space between these islands, but it's made really enjoyable. It's similar to the Pathless when you're kind of skating along, when your character's skating and you're trying to hit your arrow on time it in the different diamonds in order to speed up. You're not really hitting anything in terms of trying to maintain your speed. You're just kind of moving, and every now and then you might come across like a platform or like a catapult that can help you. And so the combination of just going through the open ocean and then you might run across like a very small island that has a tower that has a catapult platform, and you might charge your jump in the ocean and then get high enough to catapult in and shoot yourself further. There are times where there are some slight hiccups in that fluidity. Like I said, the camera might not be getting right where you need it to be. You might need to throw the hookshot out again, or you might, if you're doing like a double jump from somewhere, it might not immediately register that you're trying to do the hookshot. And if you're falling, like you can miss the timing. And sometimes it's open to those hiccups at times, but for the most part, in general, really fluid and kinetic. And of course, you'll be platforming. So you'll be doing a lot of jump to jump. And like I said, you'll be maybe doing hookshots and stuff like that. But there's other things that you're going to interact with. There'll be switches that will power things, and you have to kind of swipe your melee weapon and then it'll switch things on. It might power different elevators that you stand on, those kind of grab slider things that you hookshot to, those pegs that will eventually move up. You will find other things like spring trampolines that all you have to do is walk on them and they'll shoot you up in the air. So again, like catapults, these trampolines, different things to propel you in the air, and then you might glide for a bit and you might dive into the ocean. But what is interesting is that a lot of these islands, there's a good amount of area that is not like specifically platforms for you to jump on, that it's unclear if you can or should be walking on them. I will say that it's not like other games where like if you're not on the platform, like it won't let you go up or like you'll slide down or anything like that. I've gotten up an island to the top of it by just like jumping on mounds or like the sides of a hill or something like that, and I didn't slide down, so there's not really any kind of sliding physics. It's just interesting because I felt kind of in out of bounds land whenever I was on a thing that wasn't like specifically a clear platform. But just know that you can find alternate ways to traverse vertically. Some of the enemies that you'll come across, for the most part, they're very basic. They're just kind of these dark blobs, like these circle things that have spider legs. They're pretty slow. Their attack animations are pretty slow. There is some variation, like there are more challenging ones, like some that'll charge you like a bull or some that'll like fight back with a big fist or something like that. But honestly, if you just spam melee attacks, they're just gonna die. And if you're hitting them, they kind of get stunned for a second. So you can keep just hitting the same one or hit one, turn around and hit another. You're really never gonna get hit. And there is a health bar that pops up. It also coincides with, like, the screen getting more ink splattered on it. But as long as you don't keep getting hit consecutively, you basically just recharge back to full health after a little bit. The majority of these enemies you're going to encounter on land or on islands, like, within the platforms. Like, you might get to a certain platform and have to just kill a couple enemies real quick. But then, sooner or later, you will find some in the ocean that are kind of like these bigger spider legs, and you have to, like, hook shot to them and, like, hit them while you're kind of suspended in the air. But most of these enemies are only going to take, like, two hits. Some of the ones on the ocean or some of the tougher ones on land might take up to four or five hits. But pretty much the combat I found really lacking. It's just super simple. It's kind of, like, very ancillary, not, like, a major thing. There's no new moves that you get. Like I said, I did discover late in the game that there's a ground pound and that there's, like, a power swing. But I think you could do that the whole game. So it's not like you're upgrading anything like that. And also, you can only melee attack enemies. So other than the ones that are on the ocean that you hookshot to get to, you can't, like, use the hookshot thing to actually damage enemies. Other things that you're doing as you're platforming through the island is you're going to find, like, these clouds of smog, like these little kind of clouds. And if you walk into them, they'll hurt you and they'll kind of bounce you back. And all you have to do is swipe them with your melee and they'll disappear. But this is where there's a little bit of that inconsistency of, like, how close you are, or the proximity to something. Like, you'll get close to one of those little clouds that's sitting on a platform or something, and it'll highlight around in white. But if you're not close enough, it can still highlight and you can miss it. So you just have to get close enough where your swing is going to attack it, and then it'll just poof, disappear. So you will find yourself trying to get rid of these clouds just to progress in some of the platforming. And let's talk about pacing and exploration in general. This game is quest-based, and you will have main quests. Primarily, it's just going to be a lot of travel to here and fetch this or do these three things. You're going to have a lot of sequences where you have to do three things. And it might be, like, go to this general area on the map, and when you're there, there's, like, these three different towers you have to go to and climb to the top and hit the switch. Sometimes it'll be with a sequence, like, with a boss. Not that you're actually physically attacking a boss, but that you have to do three things, or you have to alternate something three times in order to defeat it or just make it go away. And then as you're progressing, eventually you'll clear the map. Like, there's smog on the map, so you'll find new areas. Going between them, the travel is far. There's no fast travel here, and I think that is by design. It does feel satisfying. Sometimes it takes a little while to get somewhere, but because you have different things you can interact with to do the platforming in between, it doesn't necessarily feel like you're just holding a button, although you could. I think the inclination to do some of this platforming and have it feel good and satisfying to move will make most players do that. There are also side quests in this game. This is a little bit of a point of frustration just because of, like, a record keeping or, like, a saving or leaving the game. Side quests are tough to come by because you don't see them on the map. And I think that speaks a little bit to the communication or the transparency of the map. But with side quests, you're really only going to find them in an area if you happen to go by a small island where there is a person who has a side quest. You'll see the notification visually on your screen, but you have to be looking at it. So it's kind of frustrating because once you get it, like, if you're in an area and you see somebody that has a side quest, like, you go over there and it'll say, like, oh, I lost my something in this area. So all of them are kind of local, like, you have to look around in that area. But if you go there and you get the quest and then you don't finish it and you move on to somewhere else and turn off the game, it will be gone. Like, you won't see it anymore. At least I can't find it. And again, it's frustrating because you can't really find it on the map. So if you go on to another area, you might not find that side quest again, even though that person's still there and you can go there. Again, these are also fetchy. It's just like, oh, I lost my book, or oh, I lost this. Maybe if there was a little more variation. And with the main quest as well, I just feel like there's not a lot of variation here. There are other things that pop up similar to side quests. You're only going to see it if you pass it. And these are challenge runs. Kind of like from games like, I guess Dying Light did a lot of challenge runs. It's like you have to go to this place and it's like a speed run. These are really good. I think there's only four in the game though, and they're basically timed platforming runs. So you're doing a lot of your tricks, a lot of your combinations. It's really satisfying. And some of the later ones do incorporate other things like the spring jumps and catapulting yourself, definitely. And then as you're going through this kind of mini run course, that is basically just a area in the world. It's not like you go to a separate location or anything like that. But as you're doing the course, you have to collect these clocks and they'll add to your time. So your time doesn't run out because your time counts down. And then what I think is the intention of this game is the open exploration. That is because you can do this advanced platforming, this kinetic movement across the ocean. The surfing. It's interesting though because I don't really find a reason to explore in this game because there's not a lot that you can get. The game is fairly empty. There are things that you can find and people you can interact with, but for the most part, if you're not into finding the side quests or not into finding the challenge runs, there's really not a lot for you. In the later stages of the game, I'm kind of wondering the purpose of having this vast ocean other than just to experience the platforming and the kinetic movement, which again is not that bad of a reason because it's really satisfying. But I wish that there were maybe another reason to go exploring in this game or another reason to have so much distance between areas that you're traversing, because I would like for there to be more out there to kind of compound the pleasure and the satisfaction of doing this traversal. But there is some collecting. So there is a currency that you're going to get called sparks. Basically, anytime you're moving, you'll see them, you can hookshot them to you, or anytime you ride through them or walk through them, they'll just get collected. But these are basically a currency that I really think you can only use to buy different cosmetics. Like your character can have a different top, a different hat, a different pants. So anytime you even do a side quest, you're just going to get a barrel of these. And that makes it, again, a little less satisfying to go and do these side quests and these challenge runs because you're just going to get more of this currency. And quite frankly, I have like over 500 of it. I've only bought a couple articles of clothing. It's fine. It's nice. It's not as satisfying as like when you do it in Hat in Time or Super Mario Odyssey. But it is something that if you're into, that would be cool to kind of customize your character. But I just wish there were more out there. There is lore stuff out there because you will collect journals. And they'll tell you about different characters or different maybe locations. And so I do dig that because there is a lot to the story and the world. And finally, let's talk accessibility. And we talked about being able to invert both camera axes, which is a major plus for me. Again, combat is very easy, so this is not a game that's really going to kick you in the butt. There is a map and there is a menu. I just wish the map was more helpful and interactive. Like, I wish you could mark things on it and maybe mark like where side quests were so you can go back and find them. And I also feel like there should be a little more quest help. What is really good, though, is when you're out of the menu and you're just looking at the screen, there is like a compass at the top. And there are icons for like where you need to go and like how far it is. Like there's a number. So I really do appreciate that. I just would like more of customization on the map so I can remember where to go for things because that's really lacking. Let's talk about the vibe of Wavetale, and let's start with the visuals. So essentially, this is kind of a cel-shaded Pixar look to it. You've got these 3D models. They're a bit more polygonal than I would like. You can definitely see the edges in some of these characters' faces, and that's fine. I feel like that is intentional, but a lot of these areas and these characters do have a lot of color. So let's talk about the environments. For most of the non-interactive things, whether it's platforms or even, you know, some of the areas that you can walk on, although you don't seem like you should, it's very simple visually. Like there's plants that are sitting there that are super thin, almost look like they're just pieces of construction paper. Sometimes it's like spots on top of plants or something like that. It looks fine. It looks nice. It's not really a major attraction of detail. But the different platforms that you come across, like some of them will be wood and, you know, the grains are very detailed. It almost looks like a Crash Bandicoot game. And then some of them are like these metal grates that I think for the most part are painted blue. And so you definitely notice like, okay, I should be going to these wood or metal platforms. That's like the general gist of where we're going. And so there's nice detail in order for you to recognize that. There'll be a lot of these switches and these power lines where the switches have the electricity kind of bouncing back and forth. So you'll be able to look at them as kind of an indicator. Again, everything is kind of glowing when you're either close to it or when you should be interacting with it. So if there's a switch that like is the switch you need to turn on, like it will be glowing, and that's very helpful visual for you. And then also if like you're trying to get to an area and you notice that like the elevators aren't working, you'll see that like there's a tube that's going to that area. And if it's not like glowing, like almost like a glowing ring that's kind of moving like at those carnival games, like around in a circle, if it is glowing or if there's a pattern of glow like moving towards it or something like that, like that will be the indicator whether there is power there already or whether it needs power. And so again, kind of some visual environmental storytelling to help you in terms of what to do next when you're at a location. And most of these islands, if you're supposed to platform there, are going to have these tall kind of jutting structures, some of which are a little bit in disarray. Like you might have some bent metal beams. Not that you would need to jump on those because the platforms are very clear, but definitely kind of these open structures that might look like buildings or houses that definitely have holes in them or a lot more open maybe than they used to be. And then most notably about the environment is the water. Open ocean with these mix of clear colors because you can see a little in the surface with like a blue tint. And then on the surface of the water, you have this vague, whether it's like the foam or the reflection of the light. But I will say the water is very beautiful. It's very kinetic. The vibe that you get from it is really breathtaking in this visual setting because you've got these cel-shaded characters. You have these environments that might be detailed, might be kind of hit or miss. But then you have this water that is really beautiful and you can see reflections. The colors are also interesting because if it's like a sunset or if you're in an area that's a bit shaded, like the shade of the water will tint a little bit to whatever is going on and maybe in the sky. And what is really amazing is that the water is in constant waves. It's constantly moving. And so you've got the foam or the reflections constantly moving around, and it definitely doesn't look like real water, and that's fine, but it looks exactly like what you would expect in like a cel-shaded Pixar movie with really kinetic water. And I love that because a lot of the time that you spend is going to be on the water. So it's really adding to the visuals of a lot of what you're doing in terms of the platforming as you're surfing through. And it really makes it visually enjoyable to surf on the water, I feel. And then you have your characters. I think they're really beautifully animated, very cel-shaded. Sometimes, you know, their jaws or whatever, or their noses might be really squared, but it's okay. Their faces are interesting because their eyes, their mouth, things like that are like these glued on 2D eyes or expressions that are constantly like quickly moving back, almost like if you have ever made a Mii, whether on the Wii or on the 2DS or 3DS or on the Switch or something like that, like the expressions that those things will have, like pasting on eyes, and then all of a sudden like they'll change their expression or they'll grimace, and you'll see that very quickly. Enemies, not really anything crazy. Like I said, they're like these dark balls that have like spider legs, as well as the clouds that you have to sometimes swipe away and get rid of. But again, what's interesting visually is that when you get close to them or when you're swinging at them, their outline kind of blinks white so that you know that you're kind of targeting them. And some of the things that get animated, like different items, or when you kill something, or, you know, if you open up a barrel of those spark currencies, there's a lot of like poof that'll happen, whether you kill an enemy or something like that. And reminds me of just modern Zelda with Breath of the Wild, and even before that with like Twilight Princess, or after that with Skyward Sword. But when items are waiting to be collected, they kind of move around a little bit. They're almost like something's inside them. They're acting very alive, just waiting to be collected. And so I do like little details like that. In terms of audio, the music in this game is really great. And as you're surfing on the open ocean, like this, you know, feel of adventure, like this epic music, it's not overpowering in terms of volume, but it's there and you're constantly hearing it. And it's really propelling you to kind of explore and feel that. It's very ominous. It captures the vastness. And then you have the voice acting. I feel like the voice acting is very immersive and well done. Like I said, it's almost like you've got these mini Pixar characters and you can kind of feel it in some of, at least some of the main characters, not all the side characters. Some of them are a bit tropey or maybe a little throwaway, but for the most part, your main characters, like, you really do feel their voice coming through, and it does match. And then, so let's get into sort of the themes and the characters in this game. I really like the dialogue for most of these characters. I think that it's, you know, not too rooted in like, oh, let's do this, or, you know, for the good or whatever. It's not like eye-rolly. It's very grounded, and the story does get a little intense, but I do like it. Even towards the end, I'm really digging where it's going and sort of lessons learned and the character development overall. But some of these characters, like I said, they are a bit tropey, and some of them are real pistols. And that's why I keep describing it as like a Pixar animation, but also the characters, I think, and their like crackerjack nature and how they interact. I do think it'll make you chuckle a little bit sometimes. And the setting overall, like, you kind of got this post-apocalyptic world, like I said, water world. Something happened, so you are getting a sense of, like, the history as you're moving through. Like, there was a massive flood, and then you've got, like, this smog that covers most of the land. It's almost touching on maybe a little bit of environmentalism. Like, you know, the smog is from burning fossil fuels, and a lot of the things that you do, like I said, you're hitting switches. A lot of it is to turn on electricity. There's almost, like, this light versus dark narrative. Overall, the story is simple. It does start to get complex at times. After you complete a couple of the main quests, you will have kind of cutscenes of characters talking, and you do get a lot of exposition. And, you know, there's some pretty loaded things going on in this game. There's the concept of, like, who is the real enemy, old feelings, old kind of crotchetiness, or the old way, or kind of coming through. But then there's the sense of community. There's, like, these factions needing to put their past to the side and come through and see the light, quote unquote. A lot about family. It's about lost ones. It's about memory. And you can definitely feel the heart in this game. You can feel when some of these characters talk and interact. And in some of these cutscenes, it was pretty powerful for me. So I really like a lot of the story and the character development going on in this game. Let's wrap up the conversation about Wave Tale. So I feel that this is a simple, refreshing game. We talk a lot about palate cleansers. This is not a game that you're really going to get lost in the complexity of, but it has a nice story. I really like the gameplay. It's basic, but yet it can feel really kinetic and fluid. And honestly, sometimes I'm just looking at my PlayStation and I see this game and I'm like, let me just go around and surf a little bit, because it does feel nice and kinetic and very satisfying. There is an interesting thing with the open exploration versus the emptiness in the game, and like not really needing to explore because there's nothing to find out there in terms of what you can collect or what it can do for your character. So there is a question, and it might be in your mind, of why things are so spread out other than just to feel the kinetics of the gameplay, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. But games like The Pathless or even Journey like had some things that you could collect. And this game does have journals, which you can collect and get some of the lore, but I feel like I was looking for more. The game has a great vibe, beautiful music and themes. Characters are really sweet. It's heartfelt. It's not overwritten. Like I said, I do compare it to Pixar, but it's not trying to get punchlines or anything like that. I feel like there's a lot of genuineness to these characters and their motivations, even though the plot tropes might be a bit simple or things you've seen before. And I do see a lot of that almost emanating a little bit of Pixar. In terms of value, the MSRP is 30. I think that's really steep. I think it's too much for this game. And that's more than A Hat in Time. And A Hat in Time had a ton more content and a lot of different things that you could do. I think as an MSRP, 15 would be ideal. I know that's half the price, but I really think $30 kind of made this dead in the water. Not that I think that it's a bad game or that there's not stuff here, but just compared to some of the things that we've seen, I think $30 is just not going to move the needle for most people. But 15 is ideal for an MSRP. I would wait till it's on sale for under 10. I paid $9 for it. I really liked my purchase. I'm glad with that price point. I think it was a great deal. But in terms of just like a wish list, I wish that there was more to this game. Maybe some tougher platforming, ones with a little bit of puzzles, maybe some collection discovery and exploration like we talked about, and maybe more of a moveset. But honestly, I feel like those issues would stand out more if this game were longer. Because the fact that it's short, you're in and out, it's got a real nice hook to it, you can surf through the ocean, do some really fun, satisfying platforming, and you've got a really great assembly of characters and a story and some nice themes that I think wraps it up in a nice, neat little package. Again, a nice palate cleanser, and so I really do suggest that you try this game. Alright, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode to see what new game we found for you.